This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor of WorldSweeper.com and the director of the World Sweeping Association. I'm pleased today to have on the line with me Joe Baumgartner. He is the founder of ProSweep Plus. They're located in Missoula, Montana. Joe got into this business in about 2000. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you.
I'll let you talk about why you got into sweeping and what the ProSweep part of it does and what the Plus part of it is. You're in a fairly closed market, I know. In Missoula, in a relatively small marketplace like that, you're either going to be very successful or probably not at all before long because word gets around. I'm interested in learning a little more about what that's like to be in a relatively small market, too. I know I can bring that up because you're busy as heck to get hold of, and I know you guys are running and gunning. So if you would, go ahead. Talk about what you did prior to 2000 and what made you get into this business.
I worked for my father. He had a masonry supply family business for 35, 40 years. Worked for him out of high school and just always wanted to do more. We were just a supply store, so there wasn't a lot of extra business for us to grow with. So In the winter, I started snow plowing in about 93. I started snow plowing a little bit in the winter just to stay busy, not sit around all winter. So we did that for a couple of years. I did. After a few years of that, you know, we would put gravel on the lots, and one of the ladies I worked for asked me if I would sweep the lot up. And I said, well, let me look at it. So I looked at that. I looked at a few more lots, and I went, heck yeah, I think we'll start sweeping too. I started sweeping on my own. I went and bought a Johnson 605. Swept every night, every day, every weekend. Everybody I asked if they wanted their lot swept, they just said yeah. And I slowly turned that into contracts where I'd sweep for the bigger stores, box stores, Walmart, Costco, Lowe's, Home Depot. Those, at the time I started sweeping, those businesses just started coming to our town. So I was the first one in the door. As we grew, of course, grew right out of the Johnson 605. I went to a Timco 435, and we've used those ever since. Started sweeping, and then we were also doing the snow plowing, and then these big box stores all needed their lawns taken care of, so we started mowing all the lawns, and we just slowly worked at it for, well, first 4 or 5 years. The very first year, I did everything by myself, and then I started hiring employees. My wife does all the books and takes care of the finances. And we just grew, you know, first 4 or 5 years, we probably had 5 or 6 employees, and we just kept growing. And then we added, of course, the lawn service to it. And then we did that. We did the whole package for a while. And then one of my customers asked me about striping, if I wanted to stripe the parking lot. And I said, well, first they said, how much does it pay? And he told me, and I went, yeah, I'll go buy a striper. So I bought a striper, and I striped. I striped 3 big malls the first couple weeks. And that pretty much paid for my striper. And so it started striping. And, of course, I'm hiring more guys. And then I do that for another year or two. And then they asked me about pressure washing. How about pressure washing all these storefronts? And, again, I, well, what kind of money is in it? They told me what they'd be willing to pay. And I went, okay. So I went and bought a pressure washer. And then we pressure washed all the storefronts. We just kept growing. Yeah, we just kept growing. We kept growing our customer base. And mostly by word of mouth. I didn't try to grow just to grow. I let the customers grow us. And they kept growing us, and we've got such a large customer base now. And then it was just they wanted more done in-house. So, of course, our lawns are doing great, and our striping was great, and our mowing was great, and we kept growing with all the big commercial businesses. We'd sub out the fertilizer for a while, and then pretty soon we got our fertilizer license, mostly because I could manage and take care of my lawns better because we knew exactly what we were doing with the lawns and exactly how much fertilizer, not too much fertilizer, so it beat up my lawn guys so much. So we got into the lawn fertilizer business, and then, of course, with that, we had to take care of the sprinkler systems. And then I started in the sprinkler business. We do all the – we don't do new installs. We just do all the maintenance, all the startups and all the – I mean, those – some of those systems are 15 years old, and we work on them all the time. I got to usually between 2 and 3 guys that are my sprinkler maintenance crew, and that's all they do all summer long. We just maintenance all these systems. So as we grew into that, I kept going, well, you know, and we got our customer base pretty well set up. I haven't, bring on one, maybe two new customers a year. I turn down a lot of customers if they don't fit in our driving plan and how we get through town. If they're out of my way, we don't take them because it takes a lot of money to drive across town with my couple guys in a mow truck or in the sweeper truck or what have you. Missoula is probably, to get from one side to the other, 10 miles, both all directions.
Okay.
We literally have every mall and every shopping center on one of the main roads in town, and my lawnmower guys don't drive for more than before they get to the next parking lot, and then they start mowing again.
So well, that's ideal.
Super efficient. Yeah, and I have kept it. Now, we might have to drive across town for 5 minutes to get to another area, but then we're back to business. I can't make any money if the guys are sitting behind the steering wheel of a truck.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be on equipment. That's how I built the whole business, is efficiency. And my customers are number one, obviously. Whatever they want, we'll do. And if I can't do it, I'll hire somebody to do it to take the pressure off of them. Because my customers are big corporations. They don't have time for just piddly stuff that they think we do. So I'll do anything they ask. When you called, this morning, I was up forming up a set of steps for one of our properties we work on because it had collapsed, and they couldn't get a concrete guy there. Well, I know how to do concrete, so I'll do it. It's not a big deal. And I have a lot of employees, but that's the other thing is, as we've grown, I have 15 to 20 employees now. And as we've grown, I'm still out working because my employees see me working. My guys like it when I work with them. I don't get as much opportunity as I used to, but I'll still step in and work every day if I'm needed.
Your employees have to look at that and think, this is the guy that I want to work for because he works.
Yes. If I get out, run a rake, and I'll do, just because I show up on the job site and they're doing a project, I don't jump on the equipment. I do whatever's necessary. If they're missing a guy on a hand shovel, I don't want to mess up their flow, how they're working. I'll grab the hand shovel. I'll grab the rake. And they'll yell at me, hey, get in the machine. I'm going, no, you guys got this going on. I'm just going to help out for a little bit. We'll be fine. So that's what I've always done, whether even down to weeding our flower beds and stuff. I'll get out and weed. I'm not too good to do anything. And my customers know it. They can call me. And when my customers call, they say, I need this done. And I say, how soon? If they tell me by the end of the day, it is done. I never say no, ever. And that is why our business has grown to what it is today. We've grown it past the striping now. I've got into seal coating. I have a full seal coat crew. So we seal coat all those parking lots because they're all mine. So it's just one more added thing I can do for them. And then we started patching potholes. And that is not an efficient thing to do, patching potholes. It takes a lot of equipment, takes a lot of trucks, takes a lot of guys to patch a few potholes. So last year, I invested in a Cassie infrared truck out of off the East Coast over New Hampshire.
Aren't those fabulous?
My son, I'm the only one in Montana. Only closest one is Denver, Colorado, I believe, according to Cassie. I had sent my son back to New Hampshire. They taught him how to run it. He picked it up, drove it home, and we got it last year about mid-July. Of course, when we got the truck, I was too busy working to even use it. We were so booked with all of our other stuff. The last, pretty much all of October, the truck never shut down, and now this time of the year, it's running almost every morning. We run out because we can patch before anybody opens up. It hauls its own asphalt, you know. We can keep the asphalt hot. We can patch all night long. It keeps me out of my customer's way, so that's a big, big plus for my customers. Again, just trying to make my customers' lives easier because they can pick a lot of guys. There's other companies like mine, but we are definitely the biggest, and I'm going to just pat myself on the back and say we got the best reputation because everybody loves us. I never say no. We get it done. All they have to do is tell me what they want, and we'll do it the way they want it. You know, I'll try to suggest, a less expensive way to do it, or a way I think it can be done to save them money. And most times they'll take that way, but if the way they want it, it doesn't matter to me. I'll do whatever the heck they want.
Well, that sounds like a fabulous business model, and it certainly sounds like it's worked for you. Who taught you that kind of work ethic? Has that come from your family, from growing up in the other business?
That's my dad. No, my dad. My dad just worked, he worked 50 hours a week. He ran his own business. He worked forever, and I've worked forever. I grew up working. I like service myself. I like it when people give me good service. I'm not so price-oriented if I get what I feel I've paid for. that's what I live by, and I give people what I think they want for the price that we're paying, that they are paying. I just try to go that little bit of extra all the time. It just seems to work very well for us. Again, I have, I have 12 pickups with plows. All my equipment is lettered up with ProSweep Plus on it, my phone numbers I have. They're just run around billboards. And that's good or bad, because if you're not doing a good job, they know exactly who you are. So you have to do a good job all the time. My guys have to be moving on the job sites all the time. They can't be just standing around, because then people go, well, I don't want to hire that guy. So they all have to just keep moving and keep doing a good job, which they do.
I'll break in to say that is what people say, is that it's having your truck logoed up. Your logo and all is really nicely done on all of your equipment. And you can say, well, that's good and bad, because if you do a bad job, people also know it. But to me, that's one of the things that you want to know before you get the pat on the back part, is if I'm screwing up, I want to be the first person to know that. I want that phone call coming in to say, hey, your guys are just standing around, or, you know, whatever they're going to say. Because how else do you know as a business owner?
Exactly. And then growing up in a smaller town, too, everybody knows this. If somebody is standing around, one of my friends are going to see him in minutes, and I'll know about it, and I'll be over there just making sure everything's going good. So the guys are very watched over, and they know it. We talk about it all the time. And it's helped us just to keep good guys working, and the guys are all great. They like to work hard, because if they're hard workers, I'll find work. Finding work is the easy part for us. I can find all the work in the world. I could double in size. It's just finding the help that wants to stay with us and keep working. That's our only struggle. And I'm a little more picky. I don't hire just bodies. I like to hire guys that want to work and work hard like we do, because we need to make money. We're not here just for a hobby. We have to make a living, and I pay all my guys really well. And they know that I'm going to keep growing. I mean, I just keep. And when they walk up to me and say, Joe, I need a new blower. I need a new mower. I need a new what? I go buy it. If it's to make our jobs easier, I buy equipment. My manager, Matt Watts, he's been with me for 5 years, and he's managed other companies like ours. And he says, I've never worked for a boss that will just get what the employees need. I don't make them struggle. If they're struggling, it's their fault. They haven't told me they needed a new tool or whatever it is that they need to make their job easier, because it's what we do. Thanks to my wife, who runs all this stuff and does all the finances, we bank ourselves. I don't have a credit line. I've never had a credit line. I work off of my money. I save all of my money first. And then if there's any left over, then I finally get paid. We make sure our bills are always paid on time. I never had a late bill since we started our business. And that's the other thing. I pay my subs. If I have subcontractors, I pay them immediately. I don't make them wait till I get paid. I pay them immediately. Then all they want to do is work harder for me, and everybody wants to work for me if I sub them. And I sub some snow contractors. We're the largest snow contractor in Missoula now. We do more snow work than probably the rest of the snow companies together. We've grown big. I have big loaders, big 14-foot box plows. We run skid steers, four-wheelers. We spray more de-ice than the whole rest of the city. We de-ice all the parking lots now, because that's part of the Missoula's code. That's what they want. They won't let us do gravel anymore, so we just spray de-ice. We just keep growing, and the guys, you know, I've had guys around for 7 and 8 years just like to stay here, and they all like us. I mean, we all get along. I work with all of our guys all the time, and we get along, and we laugh, and that's part of it, having a good time. You know, we really try to, it just kind of trickles right down to our customers, you know, and all the customers, whether they're management or whatever they are, you know, the people I work for, they're all my friends now. I want them to be my friend. I want to like the people I work for. If I don't get along with somebody, which is really hard for us not to do, I won't work for them, because if it isn't fun to work for them, we're not going to do it. All they got to do is tell us what they want. We'll get it done. If they're hard to deal with, which I can deal with just about anybody, but there's one or two every once in a while that we just kind of, I'll let somebody else have the job, because we hardly ever lose a property once we get it. So, and it showed, because no advertising. I advertise zero other than my trucks.
Then the billboards on the sides of your trucks, which are pretty substantial advertising, really. You've done a fantastic job about that. How do you get employees like that? Is it, what goes on in a relatively small area like that? I would think that word about how somebody is as a worker probably gets around pretty fast too.
Yes. Yeah, and we usually get referrals, mostly referrals from other workers is what I like, because they know if they don't work hard that I'm not going to have them work for me. So they don't recommend those kind of guys. And it got really, really hard here about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when the oil fields got so busy.
Oh, I bet.
I just didn't want to grow at all, because it was hard to keep guys. And now I have about three of those guys that, you know, there's no work for them. So now they're back. They work hard. It's gotten a little bit better, you know, to get employees.
Mm-hmm.
I pay them pretty well. I've got a pretty good pay scale for what Missoula pays.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, as long as they're moving and working, we can afford to pay them better. And we're making money, so they get to make some money, you know.
That's all very admirable business plan as far as I can see. What do you do in terms of, do you belong to, you know, associations and Chamber of Commerce or go to business meetings or anything like that? Or is that not needed in that area?
Chamber of Commerce I joined just because it's a small town.
Yeah.
They invite me to their meetings. But honestly, I don't have time for meetings like that. I mean, I like that. I support everybody else that's in the chamber. And, you know, I try to spend my money local as much as possible. But I don't have time for meetings because I'm too busy working. And when I do finally get time, I want to try to go home and enjoy it. You know, my son, who's 21 years old, he's the assistant manager now. He grew up just like I grew up. He grew up when he was in his diapers, he was helping us move 2x4 sticks and just, you know, pieces of 2x4 and sweep up when we were building our house in his diaper. I mean, he just grew up working. And as I started the business, he would ride with me in the sweeper truck. And he'd want to ride all night long when I snowplowed. And he'd be 6, 7 years old and have to ride with me at night. And he couldn't wait to get to where he could drive a truck and run the lawnmower. And now he's the head of our asphalt crew, too. He does all the asphalt and the seal coating, and he's in charge of that part of it. He just built a work ethic. And my daughter the same way. But when my kids started, they had to start as weeders. They'd weed the flower beds and weed the, you know, the islands in the parking lots. My son did it for a whole year. Then he had to weed eat for a year until he was big enough he could start mowing. But I couldn't put him in up the ladder because people would be, you know, the other employees, I think, would be mad. So he had to work his way from the bottom.
Mm-hmm. That's so sensitive.
Now, otherwise, the guys won't respect him. Harder on him, it's hard on me to make him do that kind of stuff, but he had to. My daughter, the same way. She worked a couple of summers for us. She just weeded. And now she's going to college now, but when she's home, she helps my wife in the office in the bookwork. She's learning how to do that kind of stuff. So it's just showing my kids that hard work will get you where you want to be. I mean, I barely made it out of high school. I hated school. I couldn't stand to be in school. All I want to do is go out and work or play. And I just have built this business into probably a better business than most of the guys that went to school, you know? I mean, just from hard work and doing the right things and saving money. It's not how much money you make, it's how much money you spend. So we've been able to carve out a pretty nice living here, but we also work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Well, that's a business model that I think is so important in this particular industry for sure, when you're doing all those different services, because a lot of those need to be done when people are sleeping. And
yep,
their parking lots aren't full. And you must really be quite hit with weather extremes there in Missoula, too. I mean, when it snows, it snows, and you get lots of clear
yep.
days in the summer, but hot.
Exactly.
So that changes that out. That has changed, the whole character of the area is changed by not having a bunch of gravel be put down in the winter, because there are a lot of areas in the snow belt where they're not able to use something like a Timco 435 because the air sweeper just can't handle it, and they need, it's sort of a water tragedy in that air sweepers are so much better for water quality than broom sweepers, but where there's a lot of gravel put down, a lot of times the people feel like they have to have broom sweepers to get going in the
right.
for the spring cleanup. Well, then they use them the rest of the year, and they don't do what they can for water quality in their area, and it's great that Timco 435 is a regen machine. You can put it on streets, you can put it on parking lots. A very versatile machine. It'll handle your spring cleanup too. That's great.
It's been a great machine for us, and I'll even do the final sweep on chip coat jobs before they stripe. I do a lot of construction cleanups during the day, which that all went away for about 4 or 5 years because construction was so down in our town for a while. But now we do all the track out on the streets. The sweeper does a great job. It runs down the road fast. If you got to get somewhere, you can get there in a hurry. And it's, you know, it's made our business. It was the best thing I ever bought for the business. I had a 210 for about a year, Timco 210, but it wouldn't suck up any gravel. We struggled with it. Then I stepped up and bought the 435. And this is actually my third one. I only have one at a time. We don't have a fleet of sweepers, but my sweeper runs probably 75 hours a week. So, and it's mostly at night. You know, we work 7 nights a week. And then during the day, we do all the construction cleanup if they need it. And that's starting to come back pretty strong because Missoula's really economy starting to pick up again. But all that time in 2006 and 8 when the economy got slow, we continued to do better every year. We have never had an off year since we started. We've grown every single year. And sometimes it might be 2% growth, and a lot of times it's 20% growth. That's what brought me into seal coating. When construction industry started to slow way down, I told my wife, I said, we're going to lose a lot of sweeping, a lot of our sweeping income because there's nothing there. They're just not building. So I thought, well, I'll take some money and invest in the seal coating because I already had all the parking lots. I thought, what the heck, we'll give it a shot. So the first year, our sweeping was off 20%, but our income was up 40% because of the seal coating. So we lost 20, but we gained back basically a 20 more than we would have just by doing the seal coating. And so I just tried to get ahead of the curve before there was a problem rather than sit there and say, poor me, I don't have this work. Mm-hmm. I just changed my work pattern, and we just kept rolling.
That's such a critical realization that a lot of people in sweeping don't have, is that you should own all those parking lots. You're there however many nights a week typically, or certainly more often than the striping guy is or the seal coating guy is. And so why should somebody else be able to come in and get those accounts? So you have certainly worked that in the right fashion as far as I'm concerned. What are the construction law regulations there in Montana? Do they have to have somebody on your construction sites of a certain size? Do you have to have a sweeper on site or come every so often? Or how does that, do you get calls just when the inspector's coming, or how does that work?
When it's a little rainy and stuff like it is right now, we've had sites where we got to be out at, say, 10 in the morning at 4 in the afternoon every day and sweep the track out on the street. If it's downtown, we have a construction site right now that's downtown. They're building a big new bank. There's times we got to be there 3 times a day. If it's not raining and it's not muddy and it's not real bad, then we might only have to be there once a day or once every other day. But they get us on a schedule. We try to schedule us fairly, you know, so we know what we're doing every day. But they might call at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and say, "Oh crud, we got to have it." You know, a lot of my guys are gone by then, or you know, are still finishing up other jobs. So either Matt, my manager, or myself will jump in the sweeper truck and go. I don't say no. One of us will do it. I mean, I started sweeping. I definitely know how to keep sweeping. So I'll jump in there and just keep going. Everybody knows how to run everything, because then everybody can stay real busy. That's kind of what we do, is we just make sure we take care of those people all the time. So then they're always calling because they know we're going to do the job for them as soon as they call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that cross-training is a real good idea. Are the box stores in Missoula under third-party provider management, or do you deal directly with them?
Most of them are under third-party management. That's on spike because they want to get paid. And I'm already doing the job, and I've got the job. And then when they come in, they want to pay me half so they can make some money. I don't like them. I get along with them, but I've left quite a few jobs. And by the next year, I usually get them back because I've got a good reputation with the manager. And then somebody else will get the job, but they're not getting paid enough, and then the quality goes down. And I refuse to go do a job for free. And so we struggle with that a lot. It's come back around for us just because I won't do it for free. So it's gotten better, but it's still some places I won't work for anymore because they just don't pay enough. They don't realize the poor big box stores that have it, they don't realize that. I don't know if they even realize that the contractor's not getting paid very much.
Right. I think that they don't oftentimes. And then oftentimes, too, the third-party vendors won't allow you to contact your store managers directly anymore. Nope. So we've certainly heard some situations where, you know, they'll call you and say, gee, we've got a refrigerator dropped off at the front door. Can you come and get it? And by your contract, you have to say, well, actually, you have to call the third-party vendor, and then when they get to me a couple, 3 days from now, I can come and get it. But you can't even get paid if you were to be a good customer service guy and say, hey, we'll be right over there. That's so tragic.
Nope. I got beat up a couple times when they first started going to those brokers. I just call them brokers in between us, because we'd have a broken main line in the summer. And if you don't fix a broken main line in the first day, it gets 95 degrees here. The lawn starts to burn up, starts to look like heck. So I'd go, they go, get a PO and we'll get working on it. And I'd say, okay, but it takes 2 weeks to get that. So I'd send the guys out and get it done. And the only mistake I made is I told them I already did it, because it was a $1,500 job. They didn't pay me because I did it before I got the PO. And I was like, okay, we can do that. I'll never forget that ever again.
Right.
So I have a couple of big malls that are owned by a family here in town that it doesn't work that way. If something's wrong, they just want it fixed. And they're my favorite to work for. They're the best people to work for. And I probably charge them less because they don't run me around. They just, I bill them, they pay usually within 10 days, and they get, they're one of my largest customers. We do a lot of snow removal for them. That's who I was just forming up some concrete steps for this morning. I'll do whatever they ask because I know they're going to pay, and there's just want everything done right. So we just charge them the going rate. I don't ever gouge my customers. I probably give away, well, my wife says I give away more than I should to those guys, but they're good customers. So I take care of them because they take care of me.
I think that's a factor that a lot of contractors and certainly third-party vendors miss out on is how much gouging is going on because you get run around so badly by the third-party vendors. And, you know, unfortunately, it has driven some contractors to really not be ethical. And I don't get that part, you know, where they say, well, you know, I couldn't get them to go up in price, so it's a five-day sweep, so we only show up 3 days, and then they have to have us sign something, so I've sent somebody out there the other 2 days, and if they pick up anything big and get this thing signed that says we were there, but we weren't actually there. And and I tell those guys, so when your employees know that you're being unethical, what stops them from taking a case of oil out the back or, you know, slippery slope.
And that's the ones I walk away from. I walk those people, and they'll call me up, the bigger box store, and they'll say, well, this is how much we pay, and we need it swept 5 days a week. And I just tell them, I go, I'm not doing it, and I promise you the other guy isn't either. Oh, we got a couple people that'll do it. I go, they'll do it once, maybe twice a week, and charge you the going rate because they cannot do it for the price you're getting them. I promise you that.
Yeah.
And they're like, nope. And then they do, and then the other guy does it, and then the parking lot looks like crap because they can't keep it clean. Even though they want it done 5 days a week, they can't. They just can't because there's no money.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And how that's going to shake out, you know, I don't know. At the World Sweeping Association, we've really put a lot of emphasis on that. We list all the third-party vendors on our password-protected website for our members, and you can go and see what other contractors' experience is with those people. And we've also dissected some of the contracts. You just can't believe what they want. You know, watch that fine print in those contracts because, you know, they'll have you as the lead liability person, even though you're on a one-day-a-week sweep. It doesn't matter, you know. There's a slip and fall 6 days later, you'll find yourself at the head of the litigation line. So,
and I've been down that road too. And I've signed contracts that they put in the small print, and that's my fault for not reading the small print. But we've had per sweep contracts that, and in the very fine print, they'll say not to exceed a certain amount for the year. And I've never signed a per sweep contract that way. And you get down to the last 2 months and they call me up and say, you're done being paid because you've already exceeded the amount. And I go, well, it's a per sweep. And they go, no, it says right there. And I read back through. So I ended up sweeping the next 2 months for free because I signed it and I had to stick with it because I signed it. That was the last time I did it. And now I beat them back up and I got some better money for doing my work because the managers want me. So when the managers don't have a lot of say-so anymore. But when they complain enough,
you
finally get it back. And I pretty much got back every box store that I ever, because I've lost about four of them for a year, and then I get them back because the service goes to pot. And I don't blame the guys that are taking the jobs. They're just doing what they're paid to do. and it don't look good.
Well, that's the idea of having, if you have a good handle on your expenses, then you know what you can afford to take a job for, and it's so important just to say no.
Yes. If everybody will say no, then they have to pay more.
Well, that's right.
So then they have to bring that price up, and I'm pretty good friends with all my competitors. All my competitors, we get along with, we have lunch, we talk. There's enough work here. If we all just make sure that we're not going to give it away, then they got no choice.
Well, you can talk that stuff in generalities, but of course, you know, you can't talk specifics, of course. But yeah, to talk about how you all need to stay professional and keep up to where you're not doing loss leader kinds of, that's the key element to that.
Exactly. And just communicating with everybody helps a ton. And then you don't get that guy coming in trying to just lowball everything. And me, I'll weather it. I'll weather it. They can take the jobs from me for a year or two. I can weather it. I'm so diversified, it doesn't matter. I'll weather the storm. And then if they come back, they want me to come back, the big box store, then I tell them how much I do it for. And I usually need 5 to 10% more than I did it when I left, because it's been a couple years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And most times I get it. And to date, I only have one box store that I don't have back yet. The rest have all come back. It'll probably come back because the manager complains to the company that does it every day. So I'll probably get it back, but I don't lose any sleep.
And that's the sad part, too, is that the company that you say, you know, they complain about it to the company that's doing it. What a sad thing for them, because if they had just kept their pricing up to where they could do a good job or said no, then they wouldn't have to deal with that.
Yep, exactly.
That's the other part that people, I think, contractors haven't recognized as well as they should, is that your lowest paying 20% is 80% of the complaints.
Yes, and that's when it's no fun. Getting complaints for doing a job for not much money.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And it's hard to do the job because you're not getting paid enough, so you're more likely to get the complaint. Me, no, I like to do the people who will pay. And when they know they're getting a good job, they're more happy to pay you.
Well, so absolutely.
I just work off a reputation. I don't, and word of mouth, I don't have any, like you said, you can go in the phone book and you don't see me there, and I don't really update my website. I haven't looked for a job in probably 8 years. I've not even tried to bid a job. They just come to me. And then if I want them, I'll take them. And if I don't, if they don't work with our portfolio, I'll recommend another guy that does a great job. And I'll take care of them that way.
Well, and that's a good way to stay in well with different competitors, too. And to ice out the ones that aren't doing a good job as well. So
exactly. And we've done it that way with all my competitors. We do that. If I have a good property on the other side of town that I'm not at, but they want me, I will recommend one of my best competitors and say, these guys will do you a great job also. And then I call my competitor and I say, I'm not bidding it. Do your best to get that job. And everybody's happy, because if I recommend cruddy workers, then they're not going to like me that way either. So I recommend good people.
That's really a great philosophy, Joe. Is there very much litigation that goes on in that area? I mean, I know that's something that's really been a hit. People that kind of slip and fall for a business model.
Yeah. Yep. We have quite a bit of it. There's always people falling down, but we've got such a great system. We document everything we're doing, when we're on a lot, what's going on, when we spray, when the snow came, the amount of snow and the hours of snow. And so when people do fall down, which they do, not very often on my parking lots, to be honest with you, but we throw all of our documentation out there, then it shows that the company wasn't liable. I mean, they might get into the medical part of it, but the liability is very tough because we've done everything possible to make that a slip-free area. So documentation is, and it's something that I had a hard time with in the beginning because I knew I was doing the job. I knew I was there, but you know, when it goes, and you don't hear about a slip and fall for 2 months, then you got to have all your ducks in a row. And that's the biggest change in snow plowing that we have done, is just made sure that we got our ducks in a row. So if there is a slip and fall, we're protected. I have in 15 years, I've not been sued for a slip and fall that went anywhere. It just ended because of my documentation.
Wow, that's a really great record to be able to have, that's for sure.
And especially in this business, you know, in our business, every year somebody calls me, one of the competitors will call and go, hey, do you remember if it snowed on this night, you know, whatever night it was, because it's 2 months later, and I go, I don't right now, but give me a half hour and I'll dig through my stuff. And sure enough, I can tell them exactly. And our town's spread apart so far that you might get 2 inches of snow on one side of town and none on the other side of town.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to document that also. So it's just the documentation part, you know, but then you got to have a guy making sure you're documenting all this stuff. So now you're paying another guy to do, to not generate income.
Right, but, right. But it, in the long run, it does generate income just because of that, yeah.
Exactly.
It's certainly an informative, enjoyable discussion we've had here. Have any final closing words you'd like to bring out, or are you happy?
I'm happy. Just appreciate the chance to visit with you, and it's kind of fun to tell the story because I don't tell it very often. It reminds me of how much work I have had to do.
Well, it's an American success story, that's for sure, and I think anybody will be able to read this and see that there are a lot of accolades that need to come to you and yours, and you know, maybe your upbringing, your folks, for teaching the way that you should have a work ethic. And I must say that I grew up in much the same kind of thing. You know, we worked from an early age, and you're on a farm and the animals don't wait to get fed or milked or whatever it is that it was. And
exactly,
it teaches you that no matter what kind of weather, hail, sleet, or snow. And actually, my mother did work for the post office, and she was a part of that mantra, too. You know, the work needed to get done, so.
Yep, regardless, you got to work. And hard work can get you anywhere you want to be if you just want to work hard.
That couldn't be a better place to leave it, I don't think.
Perfect, I like it.
We've been talking to Joe Baumgartner, and he is the head of ProSweep Montana, ProSweep Plus, actually, and they're located in Missoula, Montana. They're the featured contractor for April 2006. I'm real proud that you are, Joe. So thanks very much for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.